Thank you for that. Let's stand in honor of reading the Word of God, if you are able. Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37. For many weeks now, we have been looking at what we're calling the simple life. We're just looking at some very familiar verses that we know and looking at the truths that are in them. Today we're going to look at Joseph, and I think I can encourage you this morning if you will give me a few minutes here. Genesis chapter 37, we'll begin in verse number 5. Genesis 37, 5, it says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. They hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. Said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Drop down to verse number 18, please. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. And they said, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. And in the few minutes we have this morning, I pray, Father, that you would encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have heard many passages on Joseph and his dream. They usually revolve around getting yourself a dream and going for it. And I'm all for that. But they kind of leave out the other things that happened here when Joseph had his dream. But many of us do have dreams. A dream is something we desire to be a reality in our lives. By the way, let me say this. For many, the dreams you have is something that could never be a reality. My son-in-law sent me a video. I think, Ryan, you sent it to me, the Prager University deal at graduation time. And he was talking about, they're little videos, they give little teachings. And he was spot on. He said, many of you are graduating from college, and you're going to be fed a lie. And here's the lie. Get yourself a dream and follow your dream. If you follow your dream, you can accomplish anything. That's a lie. If I wanted to be a basketball player, well, I was a good basketball player, but if I wanted to be an NBA player, can I just tell you something? I didn't have the size. I don't have the speed. I have the looks. To be an NBA player, I want to be an offensive lineman. That's always been my dream. Was my dream to die? Okay. It's not having a dream of your own fabrication. Yeah. And that's the thing. We want to follow what we want to do, and sometimes what you want to do isn't what you can do and isn't what God wants you to do. But some dreams are based on talents and abilities we will never have. Some dreams are based on selfishness or sinful desires that would destroy us even if we got or we accomplished those dreams. When I'm talking about a dream this morning, I'm talking about many of us have dreams that are attainable. They're things that are right. They're things that are worth striving for. There are things that God would want us to have in our life. Many of you dream about having a godly marriage and marriage relationship someday. That's if you're single. And some of you should dream that and have that for your marriage now, even if you are married. But you have that dream. That's what you want. You want to have the family that's pleasing to God and right with each other, that you enjoy being around and everybody's doing well. Many dream of being a Christian that makes a difference. Some dream of just following God's will for their life. And some of you, God's kind of laid that out and already let you know what he wants you to do. And your dream is to fulfill that in your life. Some of us dream on our lives just going a certain way. So you set out to attain that dream. But as tends to happen, something happens. Sometimes something unexpected. Maybe things don't go as planned. They usually never do, by the way. You know what we call that? Life. You had this dream, and this is where you wanted to get to, and it just seems like it was going that way, and now you're not going to get there, and something's happened. Sometimes it's not a minor detour, but in our mind, we see it as a total derailment. Maybe you get off track and you've derailed things yourself by things you have done. The dream just isn't happening. So often there's circumstances that are outside of our own control. And really, as we get into it today, there's one thing that you can't control, and that's God. He may have other ideas. He may have another route for you. What's the point today? What's the point in most of the messages I've heard about Joseph's dreams? I haven't really heard a message on. What happens when your dream becomes a nightmare? See, Joseph's dream was not a dream of his own fabrication. It was something God gave him. He didn't quite understand it. Seems like his dad and his brethren did. And he had this dream, and it was God-given. It wasn't anything of his own building. And all of a sudden, that dream became an absolute nightmare. That's where we see the text. That's Joseph. You know the story well, and a little encouragement as we step in, we know how it ends. It ends pretty good. But how? This dream in his life and the nightmare it became, and it ends up well. What is the key to that happening? Here it is. It is how Joseph handled it. The key is all in how Joseph handled the whole situation that allowed God to take that dream that became a nightmare and ultimately get Joseph to where he was meant to be. And so this morning, in the few minutes I have, I want to take a little bit of a deeper look at this and help us. What can we do when our dream becomes a nightmare? Now again, here's a disclaimer. It's not, if you have some selfish, self-absorbed, non-God dream, I may not be able to help you today. But I'm talking about something that is right. I'm talking about something that is helpful. I'm talking about something God is on board with or God is the author of. What do we do when that dream goes sideways? Well, let's look at several aspects. First of all, I want you to see the dream is received. Joseph, twice it says he dreamed a dream here. That is the difference between a realistic dream and right dream compared to something that's totally unrealistic. Let me ask you a question. Where do your dreams originate from? Where are you getting them from? Where do you want? And by the way, sometimes parents, we derail our children. We want to give them our dream instead of letting them follow God's dream. Well, I want my child to be a doctor. And he fails science class every year. Can I just tell you something? He's probably not going to be a doctor. I want him to be a lawyer. I have my dream for their life. Can I just tell you something very kindly? And I'm not saying let's not direct our kids and let's not strive to have them be. Why don't we quit trying to force on them something God may not want? Why don't we work with them and let God, look, if God wants your child to be a doctor, have at it. But would you have the same passion if God wanted them to be a missionary? See, let's not superimpose our dream. Sometimes we superimpose our own dreams. You know, we have a missionary preach here. Maybe God's called you to missions. And by the way, we have a great church and people answer that call. But if Russell Anderson gets up and says, my calling is to make millions of dollars and give to the ministry, boy, if we had an altar call for that, you'd all come down. What does God want? The dream originated with God, and Joseph received it from him. If you have the wrong dream and you follow it successfully, it still might turn into a nightmare because it's not what God created for you. You can get everything you think this world has to offer, and if you're not where God wants you to be, you're still going to be miserable. You still might be unfulfilled. Joseph received his dream from God. Get a vision of what God wants to do in you and what God can do with you. What we can become with God's help. So the dream is received. I want you to notice, second, the dream's revealed. Others get a glimpse of it. Verse 8 and 10. 8 says, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. Verse 10, and he said it to his, and he told it to his father and his brethren. His father rebuked him. You know, you would have thought, you know, I have this dream. I was dreaming last night. I'm not making this up on my own. And his brothers hated him, and his father put him in his place. See, not everybody's going to understand what your dream is. See, we are too dominated by peer pressure. We allow what's going on in our world and going around in others to kind of help determine where we're going, instead of saying, where does God want me to go? And I don't care what anybody else thinks. And I'm trying to say that in a negative stance. Listen, when I told my mom I was going off to Bible college, she gave me that look like, what? You dropped out of high school. I didn't even only drop out of high school. I dropped out of night school. I was 0 for 2. She's like, you're going to go to Bible college? And I'm like, yeah, here's the kicker. It's on the other side of the country. She just gave me that, like, look. But it's like, it shall be well. Now, she was for me. She didn't get it. My dad, on the other hand, he struggled. But look, people aren't going to understand you. Well, why don't you go do this or make money or do the other thing? By the way, don't ever tell somebody if they're doing something that's God-given, they're wasting their life. No, you're wasting your life if you don't do what God wants you to do. Let's follow God. Some of your families, that you come to church and they don't, look, they're not bad people. I'm not saying, some people just don't understand Christianity. They don't understand God. They're not bad people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, encourage them. But don't let them direct you away from God. Their brothers, they didn't like it. If you're, look, you know, you've got to be willing to be able to, not on purpose, but let the boat be rocked if it needs to be rocked. Think about people in the Bible. See, if we're not willing to do something that others don't understand or won't do, we'll never accomplish anything. Think about Peter. He walked on water. I mean, all the other guys were out there like, whoa, look at that. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter said, can I do that? Jesus said, come. He goes, I'm out of the boat. He was probably crawling over the side as he was asking. Now, he sunk later, okay, but he made some mistakes. But listen, he was willing to do something others weren't willing to do. Paul did not let those who forsook him or let him down or the beatings he took stop him from doing what God wanted him to do. You look at Noah. He did not let the wickedness of his day. They lived a long time back then because of the way the earth was and man was early in his creation. And for 120 years, he built a boat and it never even rained. Could you imagine trying to, what are you building the boat for? It's going to rain. God's destroying the earth and it's going to rain and we're going to need this. They're like, what's rain? Now that message, people might have listened for the first 4 or 5 years. But what about year 75? What about year 90? What about year 100? But I'll tell you what, his family listened. And they all got in the boat, and they were the only ones who survived. What about Joshua? Joshua didn't let the criticism of his countrymen stop him from trusting God to get into the promised land. And although he had to suffer 40 years for their lack of faith, guess who led them in? Joshua. Don't let people silence your dream if it's the right kind of dream. But now we get to the tough part. we see that his dream is now redirected. Things don't go so well. Here's this dream, and he has this dream, and again, he doesn't understand it here, but now things don't seem to be going very well from him. Look at Genesis chapter 38 and verse 28. This is after his brothers take him captive, and they throw him in a pit. They're talking about killing him. And I believe it was Reuben that said, hey, don't kill him. And Reuben was going to try to get him out of the situation, and Reuben took off for a while. When he came back, they decided, we're not going to kill him. Let's do something with him. Verse 28, then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph unto Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. First, he has this dream, and his brother's hatred turns violent as now they're thinking of killing him. But instead of that, they're going to sell him and make a profit off of it. I wonder if he was thinking in his mind, where's that dream now? What's going on here? Now I've been sold to some guys, and they're taking me. Look at chapter 37, I believe 26. It says, the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So the Midianites don't even keep him. They're just the middlemen. So now he's sold in Potiphar's house. So he's sold as a slave. They travel, and they get into Egypt. Now he's selling to Potiphar. He's like, what's going on? But you know what? He works hard. He does what he's supposed to do. And really, he's running the affairs of Pharaoh's, of Potiphar's house. So even then, Joseph is trying to work his way up and trying to get through it. And then what happens? Look at Genesis chapter, I believe, 39, verse 19. 39, verse 19. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife. Here we go. Little sweetheart there is trying to, his wife is trying to have an affair with Joseph, and Joseph isn't buying into it. And so what happens? She tells a lie. And it came to pass when his master, Potiphar, heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. I mean, okay, the dream was already killed, but he's working his way up in Potiphar's house. Now, he's dumped into the prison. Things don't seem to be going well. But you know what? Even in prison, Joseph kind of just does what he's supposed to do, and he's kind of running the prison, and he finds a way out. A couple of Pharaoh's servants are in jail, and they have dreams, and he tells them the meaning of their dreams. Chapter 40, turn to chapter 40. We'll look at a couple more verses here. And he tells one of them, he tells them the dream and says, you're going to be restored to your job. Now the other one, he heard that and he got kind of excited. And Joseph said, oh, they're going to cut your head off. Sorry about that. But he tells this guy, and it came to pass, but think on me when it shall be well with thee and show kindness, I pray thee unto me. And make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now he has some hope. He tells this guy, listen, let Pharaoh know what's going on here. And he probably told him the whole story. They were in jail together. He said, please, maybe he'll pull me out. He'll have some compassion. You're close to Pharaoh. And to be honest with you, he was close to Pharaoh. He probably could have helped to get him out. Don't you think if he would have came to Pharaoh and said, you know, there's a guy in prison, and he said he's in there falsely, and he told me, I had a dream, and he told me I was going to be restored. He probably would have got let go. What happens? Look at chapter 40 and verse 23. The last verse of the chapter, it says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Verse 1 of chapter 40. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 more years. He languishes in jail. What Joseph doesn't understand here is God had never changed the dream for Joseph. God's route just wasn't Joseph's route. It's just redirection. See, when we thought, wow, he's going to be over his family, and there was a reason for all of this, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but he's like, there's the path, and the path went that way and that way and that way and down and down and down. Then it got up and then back down. It's just, the dream wasn't dead. It wasn't over. It was just being redirected. God sometimes does that or allows that. God did not forsake him. God is still in control. The problem with this is we don't like this type of behavior. We want everything, and we want it now. We don't want to wait. I mean, come on. We get irritated if you're in line at Taco Bell and it takes more than 3 minutes. I thought this was fast food. Listen, God doesn't work that way. God's going to get Joseph to where he needs to be, but he had a predisposed path to get him to where he was supposed to be. Joseph just didn't realize it. Here's a verse I wish Joseph could have known. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know it very well, and 29. Fact of the matter, if Joseph knew this verse, he would have memorized it forward and backward, sideways. He would have knew the Hebrew, the Greek. He would have known it in languages as what isn't written in. He would have needed this verse. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God works it all out for our good, and we'll see why in a minute. But verse 29, we sometimes forget. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, we like the part that it works together for good to them that love God. I understand that. But it's working together good primarily because God wants to use what he allows in our life to make us more like Jesus Christ. That is his predetermined destination for us. That's where God wants us to get to. He wants us to be like Jesus Christ, more conformed to his image and more like what the Bible says we're supposed to be. And sometimes he redirects us in places that aren't pleasant to get us to that location. We don't like that. We just don't like it. If Joseph hadn't had to wait a bit, he probably would not have forgiven his brothers. Fact of the matter is, I probably wouldn't have forgiven him anyhow. By the way, all those people, I wonder how Potiphar felt when he found out that Joseph was vice president of Egypt. I guarantee you, he knew his wife was in the wrong. I wonder how he felt. I wonder how that butler felt. Like, 2 years. Now this guy is my boss. And he knows all about the prison system, inside out. But you know what? God used this to prepare Joseph to where he was going to end up. The path he took was long and rocky, but the location and the timing were perfect. I want you to notice nextly, the dream is finally realized. I'm not going to read through the verses. If we look in Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh hears the story of Joseph and he has a dream. The dream tells him about 14 years that are coming up, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of drought. Joseph, he has a dream. He doesn't understand. That's what's going to happen. The butler says, I know a guy that can tell you. So Joseph is dressed up and brought out of the prison. He's brought before Pharaoh. You know what God's doing? The dream's going to be realized. The path was not good. It took a long time. But here he is standing before Pharaoh. God gives him the interpretation of the dream. Joseph tells him 7 good years are coming and then 7 bad. And the 7 bad are going to be worse than the 7 good. So I have a suggestion. You need to get somebody during the 7 years of plenty to prepare you for the 7 years of drought. And here's what Pharaoh says. Well, who else is going to do it? You got the job. He gives him his ring and says, nobody is over you except for me. He gives him a new name. And to top it off, he even throws in a wife. It's like, here you go, Joseph. You just won. What's behind door number one? Door number one, a new position, a new name, a new wife. Hopefully the wife was a blessing. I'm not sure. But he gets all of it. The dream is there. Pretty soon his family's going to show up, and they're going to realize he isn't over us. The dream was fulfilled. By the way, they got a little nervous about that for some reason. But I'm going to tell you something. How was it realized? Well, let me just give you a couple thoughts underneath this point. He did not allow the negative circumstances to change his character. That's why God could still make him vice president of Egypt. Because you know what? He did not allow something bad to create a bad character in him. He allowed it to create a good character. He allowed that character he already had to be forged into iron so that when he became vice president, he would be able to treat those who mistreated him. Now, I'm just telling you, I probably wouldn't have got there. I probably would have got there and first day on the job say, can you get that butler for me? It's like, hey, brother, don't you have a day timer? 2 years? Are you serious? It's like, hey, can you go get my brothers? I want to have a talk. No, Joe, that was all forged out. That could have been burned in him if he had a bitter, bad spirit about what happened, but he did not allow it to ruin his character. No bitterness. No anger. Okay, no anger, but he did kind of play with his brothers a little bit. But you know what he was doing? I think he was trying to test them to see where they were at. And once he saw they had changed their mind and they were concerned about what would happen to their father and what would happen to their younger brother, I think he saw that they were different. But I still enjoyed that he played with them a little bit. But no bitterness, no anger, and he never gave up. You know what happens sometimes when our dream takes a left turn? We get upset, we get bitter, and it ruins our character. Instead of saying, you know what? God's in control. What can we keep doing? Next, he didn't allow it to interfere with his standing with the Lord. The reason Joseph was blessed everywhere he went is there's a phrase that's used in Genesis 39 twice of Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. Wherever he went, his relationship with God was such that God could still be with him and prosper him anywhere he went. Say, well, how did he become vice president of Egypt? I'm going to tell you how he became vice president of Egypt. Because when he worked for Potiphar, he was the best worker Potiphar had, even though he was a slave, and he became second in control. He ran everything in Pharaoh's house, in Potiphar's house. He said, the only thing Potiphar is keeping from me is his wife, and that was probably a good thing, because everything else I'm in control of. And then when he was in jail, he was in control of the prison. And the warden just drank coffee and watched YouTube videos. Joseph took care of everything. Why? Because the Lord was with him and Joseph worked hard. He did not let his circumstances. And so when he was bumped up to Egypt, it was natural he should be second in charge. He was second in charge at Potiphar's. He was second in charge at prison. Why should he not be second in charge in the palace? God was with him. He never got off track with God. It is so sad whenever people start to have problems. And listen to me carefully. I know I'm not just spinning theory. I know what I'm talking about. The first time people start having problems in their lives and in bad circumstances, they stop doing the things that God tells them to do. Yeah. I don't know how many people said, you know, I'm going through a tough thing right now. I'm not going to come to church until I get this thing right. Let me just stand up and tell you, you're never going to get it right. Yeah. Why are you going to leave the very thing that's going to help you to get to where God wants you to be in a tough time? Well, you know, we stop reading our Bible, we stop praying, we stop being obedient to God, and we wonder why things go from bad to worse. I know the only way to get through them is to stay close to God and stay close and do the things we're supposed to be doing. Joseph did that. If anything, his relationship got better. Next, another reason he was able to get there is because he didn't allow what was happening to him to excuse bad behavior. If you wanted to take this young man down, what was the best temptation you could throw at him? Let me just tell you what it was. It was Potiphar's wife. I guarantee you, she didn't look like, she probably looked really good. Isn't that how temptation is? And think about it. Here's a guy who was forsaken by his family, in a foreign land, lonely. And here's a lady willing to give herself to him. He could have excused it by, well, I've tried to do right anyhow, and I'm lonely, and all these things are against me. How often do people allow bad circumstances to excuse bad behavior? Let me just explain it to you. You never have an excuse to do anything that's wrong. Never. Well, you don't know what other people have done. I can't control what other people have done, but you can control what you do. You know, he said, how can I do this great wickedness against God? wasn't going to affect his brothers, wasn't going to affect his family, wasn't going to affect the prison, any of those things. It would only affect him. We get weak when we go through tough times. And that's when Satan tries to throw, and that's when the temptation comes. Listen, you never have an excuse. Stay strong. God is still with you. He didn't allow it to stop him from helping others. He didn't. Joseph served Potiphar well. Joseph served the prison keeper well. By the way, he served Potiphar well. And so what happened when his brothers came showing up at his door and they didn't realize who he was? He served them well. God used him to take care of the whole family. Joseph never got away from doing it. It was never about him. And by the way, the dream about him being in charge wasn't for his sake. It was for the sake of others. See, we want position. We want this. Most of us have, that's why we have off-the-wall dreams, because we want to be big shots and we want to have big things. Wrong. That type of dream is never of God. If God lifts you up, he's lifting you up so you can lift others up. He's lifting up so you can influence others correctly. It's not just for you. And he never allowed that to keep him. And because of that, he was able to help his brothers. His brothers, at the end, his father dies. They all come into Egypt. Joseph has a good spirit. He loves his brothers. He forgives them. They still have a little nervousness going on. And that comes out when dad dies. They're like, uh-oh, dad's dead. Maybe he's going to, this is the time. And they come to his brothers and they're like, hey, you remember what dad said when he was alive? Here's what Joseph told him in chapter 50. Fear not, am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is day to save much people alive. See, Joseph got it. Joseph said, I had to go through all this to get to where I'm at because there was a whole nation that needed help. My whole family needed help. And God allowed me to get this dream, and God gave me this plan to be able to help people. I know you meant it for evil, but God had a plan all behind it, and I'm not holding you accountable. The next verse, he goes, don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'll nourish you. You're all right. The last thing is this. The dream is repurposed. What do I mean by that? You know, it wasn't what he expected. It wasn't what he had would have chosen. But God knew exactly what he was doing. Well, let me ask you this morning. You going through a tough time? I guarantee you everybody here, almost everybody here would say, you know, things haven't just turned out the way I always thought it was going to be. Sometimes it's been a bit of a rocky road. That's okay. That doesn't mean your dream's over. You know, I'm struggling in my family. I'm struggling in these circumstances. I'm struggling in this aspect of my life. And it's not where God wants it to be. That's okay. If you'll just do what you're supposed to do and you'll be like Joseph, you can get to where God wants you to be. That's what you do when your dream seems to be a nightmare. Let's stand together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.